Amen. Well, good morning, church. What an encouragement to hear you guys worshiping together, to hear you singing hymns. I think it's such a loss for churches who no longer sing the great hymns of the faith. Not only are they so theologically rich, but it's a reminder that Christianity didn't start yesterday. We serve a risen Lord who has been saving people from all over the globe for 2,000 years. And I think the ancient hymns of the faith are a great reminder that we are just part of that long line of faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So encouraging to hear you singing to our Lord. My name is Jimmy Winfrey, and I was actually saved right here in this church 23 years ago when I was 16. So I will let you do the math, but I'm so glad to be back. So thankful that the gospel was preached to me here in this church. And now, as a result, as you guys partner with me in my ministry with Reaching and Teaching, the gospel that was preached to me here in Lexington, Kentucky, is now being preached the world over because of the faithful witness of this church. So thank you for the opportunity not just to speak this morning, but thank you for the investment that you've made in me and my family. I have often thought about where I would be without the Lord Jesus and without this church, and I honestly don't know what I would be doing or what my life would look like, because everything I have, I owe to Jesus. Everything I have, I owe to the gospel that was preached to me here, whether it's my wife, whether it's my ministry, whether it's my kids. Everything is because of that gospel that was preached here. So I just want to give you a heartfelt thank you. I'm going to talk a little bit about our ministry with Reaching and Teaching, but before I do, I'd like to just pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. So let's pray. Father, what a joy to be here with the saints at South Elkhorn Baptist Church. Thank you for the witness that I had here, hearing the gospel faithfully preached, being discipled here by faithful brothers, some of whom, brothers and sisters, some of whom are here this morning. Thank you for all the impact that this church has made over the decades, even over the centuries, here in this location and around the world. I pray that you would continue to bless this church with gospel faithfulness. I pray that you would give the members of this church spiritual vitality in which they would long to see the Lord Jesus glorified, both here in the Lexington area and to the ends of the earth. Father, bless Brother Lloyd and his ministry here. Just continue to bless the faithful saints who have served here for so long. And I just pray that you would continue to give a faithfulness to your word and to the gospel that will go forth and glorify you for generations to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk just a little bit about my ministry before we dive into the word. We serve with an organization called Reaching and Teaching International Ministries. I, along with my wife, if you want to go to the next slide, have served with Reaching and Teaching for over 7 years. We have 6 children, which we may get a picture of us coming up here in just a second if we want to go to the next slide. We have 6 kiddos, 2 of whom are with us here this morning. Willow is our oldest. She's 12. And then Walker, if you want to stand up and say hi. This is Walker. He's 10 years old. And then Waverly, you want to stand up? Waverly is 7. And then we have Weston, who's 5 years old. We have Wallace, who is 3 years old, and then we have a new baby who's 6 months old named Windsor. And so, as you can see, we have a W kind of theme going on there with our kiddos, and it kind of started to get hard once we got to the 6th child to continue to come up with W names, but God has provided for us in that. So, do we have the PowerPoint working? Are we able to? There we go. Well, maybe. We'll see. I will make it through. I know this PowerPoint. But our family is just so thankful for the prayers and support that's been given by South Elkhorn Baptist Church. I think since the beginning of our time with Reaching Teaching over 7 years ago, if not, then for the majority of our time in ministry. We have spent the majority of our time with Reaching and Teaching as missionaries in Ecuador. Ecuador is a country in South America, in the northwest corner of South America. Y hablamos español en Ecuador, entonces no sé si ustedes pueden entenderme, pero es el idioma allá. So I said we speak Spanish in Ecuador. I don't know if anybody can understand me, but that's what we speak there. So we spent our first term learning the language, learning the culture, so that we could best preach the gospel and teach pastors in the little Bible college that we planted, as well as I'll talk about the various training sites that we established throughout the country, of which we still teach at least three times a year, traveling back to Ecuador. A little over a year ago, we transitioned into a role in mobilization, which is the opportunity to recruit and prepare missionary candidates to go all over the world. And the Lord Jesus has blessed our efforts as we've sought to partner with local churches to send missionaries into many places beyond Latin America and Ecuador, where Reaching and Teaching started. As you'll see now, we have 75 missionaries in nearly 40 different countries all over the world. And that's in just the last year and a half, we've grown by about 150% in our total missionary families that are around the world. And the amazing thing is that Reaching and Teaching doesn't just send anybody. We tell people that we are very committed to our particular missiology, which is working through the planting and establishing of healthy local churches. We don't want to take shortcuts just for the sake of having a lot of numbers, or just saying that we've seen, you know, 1,000 converts and, you know, 1,000 churches planted. But instead, we want to follow God's plan for missions, which is using the means of the local church. If you want to go to the next slide, I'll talk just a little bit about Reaching and Teaching's vision as a whole. So Reaching and Teaching exists to establish healthy churches, make mature disciples, and train local leaders. So establish healthy churches, make mature disciples, and train local leaders. One of our key passages of scripture that we live by with Reaching and Teaching is 2 Timothy 2:2, where we read Paul writing to his disciple Timothy, who he was able to help become a pastor at the church at Ephesus, who he was able to raise up and disciple and train. He wrote to Timothy saying this, "You then, my child," this is the kind of relationship that Paul had with Timothy, that he considered him a child in the faith. He took that time to know Timothy, to train him up so that he was prepared to shepherd God's flock. He said, "Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So think about this for a second. When Paul was going out on his missionary journeys, he was not just concerned for one generation of believers. He was not just seeking to make converts, but instead he was making disciples who would make disciples for generations down the road. Look at this right here in the passage. Timothy heard the gospel from Paul, generation one. And then in the presence of many witnesses, generation two, he wants to entrust the gospel to other faithful men, generation three, who will then be able to teach others also, generation four. The plan of God is that the gospel would be planted and bear fruit, which would spread the seed to bear more fruit, which would spread the seed to bear more fruit for generations and generations down the road. This very church is the result of the plan of God. Think about that. This church was planted in the 1800s, and that's centuries of faithful gospel witness. Praise the Lord. But how did this church get planted? Well, this church was planted because somebody brought the gospel here from another place, and they received the gospel from another person in another place, and they received the gospel from another person in another place. 2,000 years of faithful gospel witness. This is how God operates, and this is how we will reach the nations for Christ. Local churches like South Elkhorn who are faithfully sending out the word of God through missionaries who will then plant churches who will do likewise. This is our goal. And can we go to the next slide? One of the reasons that Reaching and Teaching exists is because 85% of Christian pastors around the world have no theological education or biblical discipleship whatsoever. That's a really sad state of affairs. It's hard for us to even identify with that because most of us here have been blessed with faithful pastors who know the Word of God, who faithfully preach it week after week, and under whom we've been able to sit and be discipled for years and years. Imagine if that weren't the case in your life. Imagine if you didn't have faithful preachers to preach the gospel to you. Where would you be? The truth is that when you talk about the United States, there's one trained pastor for every 250 people. One trained pastor for every 250 people here in the United States. When you leave the United States, there's one trained pastor for every 450,000 people. I mean, that is a staggering difference. The need is so great. But unfortunately, 5% of seminary graduates here in the United States go to the mission field. So the United States represents about 5% of the world's population. So there's 95% of the world's population outside the United States. And yet only 5% of the world's most well-trained, well-equipped pastors go in to reach that 95%. It's like exactly the opposite of what it should be. The 95% should go to the 95% that need it, and the 5% should stay to reach the 5%. And yet, it's the opposite. We need to get our priorities in order according to the word of the Lord. And that's what Reaching and Teaching seeks to do. So we do this in a variety of ways. We have missionaries around the world who are establishing healthy churches and pastoring them so that they can raise up disciples who they can then send out to pastor churches. We have other missionaries like myself who are reaching and teaching in theological educational contexts in which we are raising up men who are now serving in a pastoral role, but who so often don't even know the basics of the faith. I can remember one of my very first gospel conversations with a pastor in one of the very first classes I taught in Ecuador, in which this pastor, after hearing the gospel, said that he had never understood that we were saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and that we don't have to do the work ourselves. I said, brother, the Lord Jesus Christ did all the work for us. He lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died on the cross to take upon himself the sins that we deserve to pay for. And he rose from the dead to give us the life that we could never give to ourselves. And that pastor told me he had never heard that before. Can you imagine? And unfortunately, that's the state of so many church leaders around the world. So at Reaching and Teaching, we seek to establish healthy churches, train up leaders to guide those churches so that they would then make mature disciples who will multiply and make an impact for generations to come. So in addition to that, what we do, if you want to go to the next slide, I specifically, in addition to working in mobilization, I travel to do these pastoral training classes in countries all around the world. But especially, because we have such roots in Ecuador, I especially make a priority to travel to Ecuador and teach classes there. So this is one of our pastoral training classes. If you can see the map, those are places where we've established regional training sites among all kinds of different people groups in Ecuador. Ecuador is a small country. It's about the size of Colorado, and yet it's an amazingly diverse country. You have the Amazon rainforest in the east, which if any of you guys are familiar with the work of Elizabeth Elliot and the books that she's written, of course, Jim Elliot, her husband, and four of his brothers went to reach the Alca Indians in the Amazon rainforest, and they were martyred by a tribe that was very violent who killed them with spears. But then Elizabeth Elliot and the wives of some of the other missionary martyrs continued to preach the gospel to this murderous tribe, this tribe that was known for violence. And eventually, virtually all of that tribe was saved. And one of the men who killed Jim Elliot would eventually baptize the children of Elizabeth Elliot. That's the impact of the gospel. And that kind of same witness we are seeing throughout the country of Ecuador, whether it's in the mountains where we live, whether it's on the coast where we do classes, the gospel is going forth in an amazing way, and we're training up pastors to continue to steward that gospel well. So one of the things we do is we teach classes. The way that we do our classes is that we do 9 total modules where the students learn everything that you would learn in seminary. They learn spiritual disciplines. They learn New Testament, Old Testament, preaching, hermeneutics, how to interpret the scriptures. They do this through a 9-module course where we come together for a week. We study all day, every day for a week. We do that 3 times a year for 3 years, and then the students receive a certification through Reaching and Teaching. And man, when they graduate, it is a party. I think they are just so thankful because they never thought they'd actually have an opportunity to receive this kind of training. But we give them a cap and gown, they bring their families, they usually sing their kind of traditional music, and they just, it's so funny because time is different on the mission field. It's like, if we said, you know, church is going to start at 11 a.m., it probably won't start until about 11:30, but you're probably going to be here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They just love to hang out and be together. And that's what the graduation is like whenever these men who never thought they would receive this kind of training get to finally graduate. In fact, in some of our classes in the Amazon rainforest, we had men travel 5 days by boat up the Amazon River, which if you know anything about the Amazon River, that's where the piranhas are. They travel 5 days by boat to come to our classes. They're that hungry for the Word of God. We're just so privileged to just have a small part to play in strengthening the church in Ecuador and around the world. So that's part of what we do with Reaching and Teaching. If you want to go to the next slide, I recently had the opportunity just a couple weeks ago to travel to Ecuador. And unfortunately, we were planning on taking our whole family, but they tested positive for COVID and were not able to go with us. So pray that we received an airline credit, and so we have to use it. So pray that in July, when we have our next class, that our whole family is able to go, because there were definitely some tears shed and some disappointment, but Lord willing, in July, we'll be able to take the whole family. But I was able to make it, and this is an example of the class that we taught with approximately 10 different men who are training to be pastors and elders or who are currently training, and then about 30 to 40 other church members and people who are training for the ministry as well in various churches around Guayaquil, Ecuador, which is the largest city in the country. And they are just so enthusiastic to receive this training. If you want to go to the next slide, we also had a chance. So we do our training in Guayaquil at night. So we go from 6 to 10 o'clock, really 6 to about 11 o'clock at night. And then during the mornings, we do all kinds of different conferences. So this particular conference that we did in the mornings was a pastor and his family conference. So we had about 12 different pastors and their wives come to this conference, and we did a conference over the book, The Pastor and His Family. We gave them all books. We talked about the difficulties that a pastor's wife faces, the pastor's children face, and how you can make sure that as a pastor, you're prioritizing your family as your first ministry. One of the hardest things, and really the easiest temptation for pastors, is to idolize their ministry to the detriment of their families. And so we're really trying to help these pastors to prioritize their family as their first ministry and be an example for their church members of what it looks like to disciple your families. And if you want to go to the next slide, we also had a chance to go and do a conference at a local church, which is a new church plant, which was formed out of a college ministry. So the pastor of this church had been doing witnessing on a local college campus, and eventually enough people were saved and began to be discipled that they were able to form a church. And amazingly, almost all of the people in this picture who I taught a conference about defending your faith and preaching the gospel, almost all of these people were recently saved, and now they're learning how to preach the gospel to others so that they may be saved and become a member of this church. That's the plan of God. That's exactly His plan for making disciples among the nations. So if you want to go to the next slide, we also had a chance during the weekend to go to another city in Ecuador called Cuenca, which is a city where we live. It's in the mountains, and so you can tell that it was colder there, like it always is. But this was a great conference where we were able to go over the 9 marks of a healthy church. So this is a church plant where one of our Reaching and Teaching missionaries is pastoring, and he's just trying to, it was basically a replant, where the pastor who originally started the church is now about 85 years old, and he has made such an impact for the gospel in Ecuador. We're so thankful for him. But he is just to the point where he can't really continue his duties. And so one of our Reaching and Teaching missionaries has replanted this church and is now trying to revitalize it and help the members to see what the biblical marks of a healthy church is. Everything from expository preaching to biblical evangelism to church membership. So we were able to do a conference over these 2 days to strengthen this church. And they were so attentive and so excited for us to continue when we come back Lord willing, in July. So if you want to go to the next slide. This is just an example of what we do in our teaching aspect of our ministry. So the same thing that we're doing in Ecuador, we're doing in multiple countries all around the world. In our mobilization role, we're seeking to build relationships with churches here in the States and also prepare and send missionaries through these churches to various places all over the world. So through our mobilization efforts, amazingly, at the beginning of the year 2020, we had about 30 missionary families in about 20 countries all over the world. So this is just a little over 2 years ago. And by God's grace, since we've started a mobilization, we now have 75 missionary families in nearly 40 countries all over the world. That's God's grace. I mean, just think about this. I'm thinking of one particular family who just last Sunday, this pastor who had been a pastor in his church for 14 years, announced to his church that he is going to answer God's call to go to Nairobi, Kenya, to work in one of our churches there training pastors. Think about how radical that change is going to be for him and his family, for the church, and for the community. I mean, they have deep roots there. And I told him over and over again, you're not more holy because you go to the mission field. You're not a super Christian because you preach the gospel in Africa and not in rural Kentucky. But if the Lord has given you a desire in your heart to reach the nations for Christ, and it's a desire that you just cannot be satisfied doing anything else, then go, brother. It's like Charles Spurgeon said to his people and to his students in his pastor school. Unless you can't do anything besides be a pastor, then you should do something else. Because you've got to have that kind of fire in your bones to persevere in the pastorate. It's the same thing when it comes to missions. We tell people it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Every sin that you struggle with is going to be multiplied and magnified on the mission field. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. But here's the good news. You're going to learn to rely on the Lord Jesus like you've never had to rely on Him before. When you realize you can't even go to the grocery store, you can't even order a pizza on the phone without struggling, you rely on the Lord. Which, by the way, when you're learning language, they tell you, as soon as you can start to understand phone calls and understand jokes, that's when you know you've started to learn the language. So I can remember my first time trying to order a pizza in Spanish, and I can remember the first time I actually ordered one successfully, and it got to my door, and Lord, thank you. That was a happy day. Because I knew that I was learning the language well enough to be able to do that. But those are the kind of struggles that missionaries go through. But by God's grace, He has called our churches, like we read about in Sunday school in Acts chapter 13, to send even the best among us. Those who sent Barnabas and Saul. What a difficult day for that church to lose Barnabas and Saul. And yet God had set them apart and called them out to go to the mission field. So we walk alongside men like Blake Jesse that I just told you about, who's preparing to move his family overseas after a life of fruitful ministry here in the States. We walk alongside them using our ministry experience, using our missionary experience, helping their church to send them well in order that they may make a difference on the mission field. I'm also heading up our summer practicum, which is an opportunity for us to cultivate a heart for missions among 18 to 25-year-olds in a variety of places throughout the United States. So we have 25 practicum students who are getting ready to leave on June 1st to go to 8 different locations around the world to spend their summer with one of our reaching and teaching missionaries. So I hosted this practicum on 2 different occasions, and it was one of my favorite things that I did on the field. Because you really get to show young people who have their whole life ahead of them and are making big decisions, which, by the way, do you guys remember what it was like to be young like that? You know, you're 18, 19 years old. You've got your whole life ahead of you. You've got to make these huge decisions. And yet, here's the problem. You really don't have any experience to make those decisions. And you're really not that smart or that wise to be able to make these huge decisions, right? I can remember when I was 17, 18 years old, I started to think, like, man, I know a lot more than my parents. And I know a lot more than the people around me. And then it only took like a year or two of actual real-world experience when you all of a sudden realize, wow, I really don't know anything. And they actually knew a lot more than me. When you actually have to start making those decisions and you get in the real world, you quickly realize how much you don't know. But praise the Lord for the local church. Praise the Lord that we have more mature Christians to help us, to walk alongside us in making those decisions and how we can use this short life that God has given us to maximize the glory of the Lord Jesus to the ends of the earth. And so pray for our practicum as these students are going to be going and living cross-culturally for 6 weeks, experiencing kind of the mundane challenges of living on the mission field, going to the grocery, getting a taxi, all those kind of things that are not the glorified aspects of missionary life, but are the real life aspects of ministry cross-culturally that we want these young people to experience. So we are trying to prepare and encourage people to consider the task of going to the nations to establish healthy churches, to make mature disciples, and to train local leaders. And God has really blessed our efforts. If you want to go to the next slide, this is just an example of, can you all see that up there, sort of? This is just an example of all the different locations that Reaching and Teaching now has missionaries in throughout the world. One of the most exciting developments that we've had just even over the last year and a half is a partnership that we've developed with Radius International Ministries. Radius trains up over a 10-month time frame. They train up people to go to unreached people groups. So some of these locations are not exactly where our missionaries are because they are in closed countries where their identities can't be revealed. They're in hard-to-reach places where it's hard to live, it's hard to minister. And so Radius kind of puts them through a boot camp to where they kind of take away their cell phone, they take away their internet access, and they prepare them both physically and spiritually to go to these hard-to-reach places. And by God's grace, we've sent out 12 Radius graduates just over the last year and a half to reach unreached people groups. And we're so thankful for that because a lot of what we do is kind of reaching what we call the misreached, those people who have pastors who have never been trained, who have been taken captive by prosperity gospel, by liberation theology, by all these unbiblical philosophies of men. And we kind of now, instead of having to go back and try to help those who weren't properly reached, now we can kind of do it right from the start. And we're so thankful for the partnership that we have with Radius. If you want to go to the next slide, I just want to share one brief story about just one of our missionary families that I've had the privilege of working with. This is such a sweet family. Even just looking at them gets me emotional. These are the Raddins. Josh Radden has been a missionary in Uganda for over a decade. And Josh and his wife are just, they remind me of Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. Jim and Elizabeth Elliott could have done anything. I don't know if you've ever heard Jim Elliott preach, but he sounds like Billy Graham. I mean, he could have been the most famous preacher of his generation, and yet he chose to give his life for the indigenous Alca Indians in Ecuador. Josh is the same way, and his wife is just as talented, if not more so, than Josh is. She is a doctor, she's brilliant, and yet she and Josh have laid down their lives to reach people in Uganda who have no access to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they've adopted a couple of children from their country, including one special needs child, which makes their life very difficult in many ways, but the love that they show those children through their just gracious Christ-like giving to their family is such an amazing example of the type of missionaries that we get to work with and teach alongside and send to the nations. If you want to go to the next slide. So with all this in mind, this is just a brief overview of our ministry. Thank you. This is all that you're supporting. This is all that you're doing through Reaching and Teaching. You're making an impact in ways that you will simply never know until you get to heaven and meet some of the people that were saved because of your sending, meet some of the pastors that were trained and therefore were able to accurately preach the gospel to others who were saved, meet people from churches that were made healthy because of your prayers, because of your giving, because of your sending. The impact of churches like South Elkhorn via ministries and missionaries like us is simply hard to calculate and something that you're just not going to know until you're able to see your brothers and sisters face-to-face in heaven. And with that in mind, I just wanted to briefly share from the Great Commission in Matthew 28 just one brief encouraging word that Reaching and Teaching is seeking to obey all of the Great Commission. What we're doing is not simply trying to make as many converts as possible, as quickly as possible, and then move on and do it all over again just so that we have a bunch of numbers. That is not the call of Christ to us in the Great Commission. But instead, if you want to look with me in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, we read this. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." In Sunday school class, I read from Colossians chapter 1, and it's a similar pattern in Ephesians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible tells us that Jesus has received all authority from God the Father. He is the reason for creation. All things were created through Him and for Him. And then in the midst of all of these passages exalting the glory of Christ, it says, and He is the head of the body, the church. And I just think it's God's way of reminding us that He loves the church. He loves the saints at South Elkhorn Baptist Church. In fact, He loves the church so much that He compares Christ's love for the church to a husband and his wife. The church is the bride of Christ, and He loves her so much that He laid His life down for her. And now what's He doing? He's working in churches just like this to purify you, to sanctify you, so that on the day of the great wedding feast of the Lamb, God will present you to your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, and you will be spotless and blameless before Him. Man, what a glorious day that's going to be. But God is using churches right now, the authority of Christ, to proclaim and make other faithful churches throughout the world. This is how Christ uses His authority. He says in verse 19, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." It doesn't say go and make converts. Go and get people to pray a prayer, raise their hand. No, make disciples. And let me ask you guys who are disciples, who are faithful attenders of this local church, are you fully mature in Christ? Are you where you would like to be in your relationship with Christ and your knowledge of the Word and your spiritual disciplines? Well, I know I'm sure not. I have so much room for growth. We couldn't expect to just go to a place, make converts, stay with them for 6 months, and then move on and expect them to do what God has called them to do. That is not the missionary call. But instead, we're called to do this. Baptize them into what? Where are you baptized into? The local church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Can you do this in 6 weeks or 6 months? It's impossible. This is the call for planting healthy churches that teach all that Christ has commanded via the proclamation of God's Word from front to back for generations and generations. The founder of Radius International that I told you about is a man named Brooks Buser, and he served as a church planter in Papua New Guinea for 13 years. And you know how many churches he planted in that time frame? One. And you know why he only planted one church in 13 years? It's because it took him 13 years to plant a healthy church. But you know what's happening now in that healthy church? They just commissioned 4 new elders and 4 new missionaries who know their country and their culture better than Brooks ever could have, and they are going to plant new churches in the exact same manner. It may take them 13 years, but you know what? They're going to plant healthy churches that will last for generations. That's what we're called to do from the missionary task. And we've got confidence. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ is doing this through us. It's His plan. It's His church. As much as I love South Elkhorn Baptist Church, as much as Brother Lloyd loves this church, guess what? Christ loves it more. And He wants what's best for this church. And He wants what's best for His churches all over the world. And that's teaching them all that Christ has commanded and raising up generation after generation of other healthy churches. And I'm going to finish with this. So that's the means of accomplishing the Great Commission. What's the goal? What's the ultimate goal for all of this? Well, in the end, missions is not the goal. Evangelism is not the goal. Because you know what? Evangelism is not going to exist in heaven. Missions is not necessary in heaven. But you know what will exist? Worship. We will worship our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Worship is the end goal of missions because worship lasts forever. So as we're doing all this, as you're praying, as you're giving, as you're going, we're praying that the Lord Jesus would be glorified among all, above all else. And that's exactly what we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. I just want to give us a brief picture of the goal of all that we're looking and working towards. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The word of the Lord says this, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" This is good news. Here's the truth. We have a guarantee that there will be somebody from every tribe, tongue, and nation in heaven with us. And you know what that means? When we go and we preach the gospel in a place that's never heard it before, among a tribe who's never even heard the name of Jesus before, you know what we know for sure? Somebody's coming out of there saved eventually. Because there's going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation alongside us worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Man, that's some missionary motivation right there. And what's our song? Verse 12, we're going to be singing with a loud voice with all that is in us. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature in heaven and on earth is going to join us. Every creature under the sea and in the sea, all that is in them is going to serve the purpose for which they were made, which is to glorify the Lord Jesus, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. That's the goal of missions. Can you imagine what a day that's going to be when we gather with our brothers and sisters from every tribe, tongue, and nation, some of whom you at South Elkhorn Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, had an impact in them being there around that throne because you were faithful to the task of the Great Commission. Man, what a day that's going to be. With that in mind, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for your faithfulness to giving to us. If you want to go to the next slide, just a couple of things that you can do to continue as faithful senders. And please be faithful. Let's not fall into the trap of immediate gratification, as I mentioned in Sunday school. Let us not think that we're just called to be faithful for a year or two. God is reaping a harvest that sometimes takes a seed in the ground of 30, 40, 50 years before you see the fruit. But God is faithful that He will produce fruit among His churches. So thank you for your faithfulness over the life of our ministry. Please, this is one of the things you can do. Continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for us. Walker and Waverly have some prayer cards that they're going to hand out to you guys. So they're going to walk around. They have a prayer card, and they also have a sheet. You can just put this prayer card on your fridge. When you pass by, pray for us, because you're going to see that we have six kids. So just say, "Oh, man, pray for them. They have six kids. They need your prayers." So pray for us. Pray for our family. Pray for our ministry whenever you see this. And we also have a prayer sheet. So this is a way that you can sign up. You guys can go ahead and start handing those out. Waverly has had a lot of candy. I can see three different wrappers. So you guys have been good to her up front here. There's a prayer sheet here that at the end of the service, I'll be standing in the back. I would love to meet you guys. I know some of the saints have been here since I was here, and man, I'm so thankful for their faithfulness. Some of you guys are new. I haven't met you before. I would love to just shake your hand and say thank you. But you can sign up to receive our newsletter via this form. So if you just want to put your name and your email address, then I will add you to our newsletter list. And we send these out quarterly, and you can just keep up with more precisely how you can pray for us, specifically in our ministry and our family. You can pray for us. You can go with us. When we go on these short-term trips, I would love to have somebody like Brother Lloyd come with us, or some of you guys who are able to teach, who God has invested in you via the preaching of faithful brothers. Go and teach with us. There are tons of different opportunities. We have women's trainings, apart from our pastor's trainings, that have this amazing discipleship material that some of you ladies can go and teach other ladies on the field that they can read and understand the scriptures for themselves. And man, are they amazed to hear that when so often maybe they've been neglected and never been taught that. So go with us. Pray for us. give to us. Continue to give to us through your church. We are support-raised missionaries, like all the missionaries virtually throughout history, like Paul himself, who wrote support letters throughout the New Testament, thanking his churches upon his every remembrance, writing about all the Lord has done in their lives. So please continue to give to us through the local church. You can also give to us individually. So in addition to receiving our newsletter, if you would like to give to the $500 a month that we need to be fully funded for our family salary for next year, we would love if South Elkhorn Baptist Church was one of the biggest givers in our family's ministry, the church that means so much to our hearts. So please give $25 a month, give $50 a month. That's the lifeblood of our ministry. We also need to raise about $5,000 for ministry-specific expenses for 2023. So those include our travel expenses, to travel to teach pastors. That includes the materials that we give to the pastors. So for example, the Bibles we give, the books we give, the materials that we print out so that they can continue reading in between our classes and completing the homework that we give them to further their discipleship in between the times we're actually able to teach. So that could be a one-time gift that you give today towards our $5,000 in ministry expenses, or a monthly giving, which you can just mark here on this sheet. And then this dotted line here, you can simply just tear that off. Give me the top part so that I have your name and your email address to add to our newsletter. You keep the bottom part, and you can go online here and sign up very easily to give monthly, or you can just give me a check, and I can help you to set that up monthly as well if you want to join our support team. But regardless of the manner in which you're supporting us, whether it's through praying, whether it's through being a faithful member of South Elkhorn Baptist Church, or whether it's through joining our monthly support team, you are a part of what God is doing through our ministry to the ends of the earth in nearly 40 different countries now with reaching and teaching. And for that, we cannot say thank you enough. So with that in mind, I'm going to pray for us. I'll go to the back and we can conclude the service, and then I would love to meet each of you in the back. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. We know that you love this church beyond anything that we could even imagine. As much as I love and appreciate this church that took a little 8-year-old boy who often came to church without his parents just because he experienced a vacation Bible school, and even by the preaching of the word at a young age, you grabbed my heart and gave me a desire to want to be in church. Even until the time that the gospel penetrated my heart and I was saved at the age of 16 and had people in this church who were the only ones who came alongside me when my dad passed away when I was 16 and had such a tragic event that I never anticipated. I had people and brothers and sisters in this church who loved me in my greatest time of need. But even beyond that love and appreciation that I have for this church, the Lord Jesus loves this church even more. And Father, thank you that you're using this church even now to make an impact, not just among the lives of the members here in this community, but to the ends of the earth via their sending of our family via reaching and teaching. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their prayers. Please continue to bless them with a knowledge of the Lord Jesus, a love for the Word of God, and a desire to see His gospel spread throughout the nations. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.